We're going to get started in our Sunday school, but we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, and we have been going through we've called it gleaning from the Word, and we've been looking through, and we're all the way up to Genesis and in the flood, and we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about some things that I've got six, that I want to share with you about this passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at the first part here. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look through verses 1 through 8, and then we'll continue it on next week. And so, Brother Cleo, if you'll get yourself ready, we're going to read Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this time of Sunday school. Lord, I just pray that you would have your will and your way in this class today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the things that you have to show us. And Father, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray for those that are still on their way and still traveling to get here. Lord, I pray that you'd keep them safe and bring them here. And Father, I just pray for those who are not here today, Lord, due to illness. Lord, I pray that you would just be with them. I pray that you'd guide them. I pray that you would direct in their lives and heal their bodies. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Cleo, if you'll come up and read that passage of Scripture for us.
Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
All right, now right off the bat, and I hope I don't lose your attention, but I do want to bring something up here. We're not going to dove into it. It is something that I have prayed about. It's something that I have spent weeks and weeks of research looking, I'm just going to bring this out, going to bring it up, and then we'll leave it alone, and we're going to concentrate on the facts and not this. But it is a thing that is widely discussed here. And in this scripture, in this passage of reading, twice it refers to the sons of God. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there are three beliefs here, or three interpretations that people go with of who the sons of God are. The first one, not any particular order here, but the first one that people tend to interpret here is that the sons of God were the fallen angels from heaven. And so the fallen angels of heaven married the folks here on earth and produced children. Now, I will just be right up front, and I know there's some that will disagree with this, but I don't agree with that. And I'm not going to go into a lot of great detail of that, but I will present to you the second thought here on the sons of God. The second thought here, or interpretation or belief, however you want to put it, on the sons of God, is that it is the descendants of Seth. And I will be really honest with you, that's where I fall. And the reason for that is in the chapters prior to this, it distinctively brings us two genealogies. It brings us the genealogy of Cain, which is the ungodly, and it brings us the genealogy of Seth, which is the godly genealogy. And that's who I believe personally myself here, and I've done a lot of research and I've done a lot of looking and done a lot of praying, and that's where I stand, that the sons of God here were the descendants of Seth. Now the third view on this is that the sons of God were men who were demon possessed and had relations with men on earth, and had children that way. The reason folks believe that is because men or angels in the Bible are always referred to in a masculine sense. There isn't a particular sexual connotation there. So the thought is that the fallen angels from heaven, demons, possessed men who produced children. I just bring that up because I know that there's in our church several folks that believe different things. I don't think it's the major issue here. But I did want to bring those up. I did want to let you know where I, as your pastor, officially stand. With preference, I have done a lot of study. I've looked at many verses. I've read several commentaries, and it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on that. I personally believe that the sons of God here were the descendants of Seth. And now that we've got that out of the way, I want to go ahead and go on. And what I want to do is I want to concentrate on the six facts that we see here. And I believe what is more important than who the sons of God are, I want to focus on those six facts here. And in the first two verses, as it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And I want to focus here on the first thing, that's the seed, the godly seed, the immoral, and the worldliness. In the first fact here, what we see here is the godly ignored God and became worldly and immoral, and we're going to look at three things here. Now, again, to kind of catch us up here and give us a little bit of background, from the beginning of the Bible until this point, they estimate it was approximately 1,656 years. Now, where they come up with all of that, I'm not real sure, other than adding the ages of everybody together and figuring it all out. And I'm just going to go ahead and take their word for it there. What's really kind of interesting, they estimated, because of the age of people, they were much closer to Adam and Eve, and where that makes kind of some significance there is that, if you remember right, Adam and Eve were created perfect, and sin interrupted a lot of things in life, and contrary to what is taught in many schools across the world today, we are not getting better. We are not evolving into something better. We are increasingly getting worse and worse and worse. And in those days, of Adam and Eve, reproductive and things like that, was better than what it is today. And so to kind of give you an ideal of approximately, and again, how they figured this was, they were figuring with the men in the or with the men that were mentioned in the genealogy, and over the years and the times that they were, if they figured two kids per man in a year, they're figuring and estimating there were probably about 10 trillion people on Earth at this particular time. And a lot of people. And as we studied last week, or we've been studying as we've gone through, we saw that when Cain killed his brother Abel, he went to the east of Eden and started a city called Enoch. And and begin to start cities and families over there, and then the Bible tells us that Abraham again came to his wife Eve, and they had a son called Seth, and the Bible tells us that Seth walked with God, and so what took place here with all of the people in the world and at this particular time, and the things that were going on, the godly people of the world begin to ignore God. And again, you know, it's commonplace, just like today. There are many born-again believers who follow the Lord Jesus Christ who ignore the Word of God. They ignore the things of God. And they increasingly get worse in their life. When we reject the truth of God, when we reject the things of God, even as believers, our life becomes worse and worse and worse. And yes, a Christian can become immoral. A Christian can become very corrupt. A Christian can become very worldly. And that's what you had taking place here as the world grew, and as the ungodly and the godly begin to come together, they produced, unfortunately, more ungodly people. The human race began to multiply upon the earth. And this of course refers to both the ungodly and the godly families upon the earth. But notice, the ungodly increased, so do the sin and evil. The more and more children were bringing into ungodly families, began to stress on the outward and the worldly rather than the inward and the spiritual. And again, just kind of putting this in a perspective, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, it tells us that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And there's a good reason for that, because bad, 9 times out of 10, brings down good. I remember there was one time there was a family in our church, and they had a son who was causing a lot of trouble, and he was a rebel rouser, and actually had been into in and out of jail a couple of times already in his young life. Well, when he became a young man, his parents wanted my parents to allow my sister to date him, with the hopes that if they put the two of them together, that she would help their son become a better person. Well, I thank the Lord my parents had enough wisdom to not do that. But that family did find somebody, a Christian family who had a wonderful Christian young lady at that particular time, that they joined up together. And what wound up happening is the good Christian young lady fell away from the Lord and from the things of God. Because again, when you put godly and ungodly together, 9 times out of 10, that now there are some exceptions, but 9 times out of 10, the ungodly will influence and bring down the godly. And unfortunately, when you put that seed together, you have more corruptness. And as we were saying here, when ungodly families they focus on the outward and the world rather than inward and spiritual things. That's what we see that was going on here when the daughters of when the sons of God and the daughters of men got together. The Bible says that they were fair, that the daughters of men were fair. So what happened is the sons of God begin to look at the wrong thing. They begin to look at they begin to look at the outward. They begin to look at the beauty. They begin to look at the fairness. And what they did, and as the Bible says here in verse number 2, and it says, and they took. And I really kind of find that interesting. Because I really believe with all my heart, folks, God gives us our mates. And we should wait on God. You know, there's a lot of young couples, and there's a lot of young people that rush that. And they take or they choose wrongly, or they begin an immoral relationship, and said young lady comes up pregnant, and they think, well, the best way to solve this problem is to get married. Well, I don't know that that is necessarily the correct way to solve the problem, because I don't think you should add one sin on top of another sin. But that's another sermon for another day. But again, when you put ungodly and godly together, and what the scripture shows of here, the Bible says, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And what that lets us see and what that helps us understand is they put God out of their decision altogether. The sons of God decided, hey, we're not going to include God in this decision. What we're going to do is we're going to take of what we choose. And folks, when you start looking through the flesh, you will make a lot of poor, bad decisions. And those poor, bad decisions will have poor, bad consequences with them. And so the second fact that we'll look at here, as we see in verse number 3, God became disturbed and warned. So it says here, as they got together and they booted out God, they begin to make their own decisions. The Bible says here in verse number 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. Now again, because of the sin that was going on, and because of the sons of God, and because the relationships there, because they put God out on the outside, and they were looking at the outward, and they were looking at the worldly. They were no longer looking inward, and they were looking fleshly. They begin to be immoral. They begin to make bad mistakes. They begin to make bad decisions, and it displeased God. Folks, God is not pleased when we put him on the outside of any decision in our life. And we need to make sure that when we make decisions in our heart and our life, that they're always including God. Now, see, in this situation, things progressively got worse, and they got worse, and they got worse. And so God made a statement here, and he said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What God was saying here is because of their sin, because of what they're doing, I cannot continue to bless. I cannot continue in the relationship. I can't continue in what we have had thus far because of the sin. And again, that is so true in our lives today, folks. When we put God on the outside, when we harbor sin in our hearts, in our lives, and when we refuse to get these things right before the Lord, what winds up happening is the Lord says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And that's what he said here. And then judgment was passed. And he made the decree that he said, "My spirit shall not always strive with my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years." Now, again, what we also see in here in that verse is we see the mercy of God. We see God giving 120 years. For people to repent. I would say that's pretty gracious if you ask me. And again, in that day, they were not without good preachers. They were not without good people. As you look at here, you have Abraham, you have Adam that lived 930 years. And again, I don't believe that, what I believe what was true in Adam's life is he was a good preacher. Because again, the reason they knew to follow God, the reason Seth knew to walk with the Lord was because of the teaching of his father. And so Adam lived a very long time there. You have Enoch. I believe he was also a preacher. I believe he spent a lot of time warning the world and warning the ungodly of their deeds and the coming judgment. And again, it talks about that in Jude verse number 14 and 15. So Enoch, as we know, was such a great man of God who loved the Lord, who walked with the Lord. The Bible says that God took him. He did not see death. God just took him after 365 years. And then we have another a man that I believe that was very close to the Lord and stayed godly was Methuselah, and he lived longer than all of them. And Methuselah's name Methuselah, his very name stood for coming judgment. That's what Methuselah means. And so I believe what Methuselah was known for was preaching and letting people know that judgment was coming. Judgment was coming. Just like we preach here in our church, we talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk about sin, and we talk about judgment and penalty for sin. You know, all of that is to help people to understand that sin has a price tag, and this price tag of sin is always the same. It's death. It's destruction and death. Sin has no other price tag. Even though the devil might spice it up a little bit for you, and again, as the Bible says, that it is fun for a season, for a short time. It's kind of like going out and getting drunk. For a little while, that buzz, that puts you into the place of, hey, I feel good and I really don't care. Well, that only lasts for a short time. And then you begin to do things that you're embarrassed about. And half of the time don't even remember. Again, it was fun for a season. It was fun for a short time. But we have some men that preached. We also have Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, warning the people all the way to the very end. And I really kind of find it interesting, and we're going to see this here as we go on in the next couple weeks here and we study this. Noah was such a good preacher and was so burdened for the people, the Bible tells us that God shut the door of the ark. And God sealed the door of the ark. And God did not leave that up to Noah. Because I think Noah probably, with the mercy that he had, probably would have, at least as I think of myself, you know, when the rain started and the floods started coming up and people pounding on the door, I may have opened it. But again, so what take place here is in the Word of God in verse number 3, God's Spirit, even today, does not strive with sinful man. And when we continue in flesh, now again, for us that are saved, born again, you know that day that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You meant business with God. You didn't just make a profession. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're not saying that you lose your salvation. But Christians, you lose your fellowship with God if you continue to go in sin. And you can get so corrupt in your life, even though you are a Christian, or of course I use the word Christians because that's one we're familiar with, but the word Christian actually means Christ-like. But in your life as a believer, you can get so corrupt and so far away from God, you can get immoral, you can fall into deep sin. And he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and he passed judgment on sin. And again, today we live in a world where everybody talks about the mercy of God, the mercy of God, the mercy of God. God is merciful, but what we've got to understand, he is also righteous, he is also holy, and God will always judge sin. And even from the very beginning, God passed the judgment of sin when he told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. God at that particular time passed the judgment of sin. And of course, what he meant was physically, and he also meant in hell and separated from God for all eternity. And praise the Lord, his mercy is the Lord Jesus Christ. But God passed judgment. He gave the people in Noah's day ample opportunity to repent, ample opportunity to get right, and they had it for 120 years. God would withdraw his spirit. His spirit would not always strive with man forever. But what took place with here, and the reason God withdrew is because people resisted and quenched the Spirit of God. They turned their ears off. They closed their ears off to the preaching that was given. Sin attracts a lot of people. Sin affects a lot of people. You think about who was left when the flood came. There were 8 people that got on the ark. Think about that. And again, estimated 10 trillion people, and there were 8 that got on the ark. Sin will, as we've said, take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And what happened to the people here in their heart and their sin, they gave themselves over to the flesh completely and fully. They abandoned, had abandoned himself and become enslaved in the flesh, had sunk to the level of living for the flesh, and begin to live for the things of the flesh and of the world. And folks, as I was studying this out, and as I was looking at this, and you know, the Bible tells us that we'll know when the coming of the Lord is, because it'll be likened to the days of Noah. You know, it's been in the last 2 years, I have been amazed at the perverse, that the perverted stuff that is coming out publicly. Now, has it been there? Yes, it has. But again, it's been there. It's very pronounced. It's very vocal. It's on every level. And God's grace is limited. Judgment was coming, God gave man 120 years to repent, but they chose not to. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says, which sometimes were disobedient and once, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was prepared, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved. And then the next fact that we're going to look at here in these scriptures, the third fact, is that that man became lawless as well as immoral, developing the first society upon earth. And as we talk about here in this passage, it talks about the world, the word giant. In verse number 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old and men of renown. And as we look at that word giant, it means fallers, apostate from true religion, fallen on men with violence, strong and robust in body, and large and leaders of others. And again, what was taking place here is those who were in charge, those who were in leadership, those who were put up and admired, were very immoral and very wrong, and they were admired. And as I got to thinking about today. Years ago, it was getting bad when I was a kid, but there were sports people. And sports people, whether you play football, basketball, baseball, or whatever, were held to a certain level of standards because they were looked at by people, and especially by children, by young people, as somebody important and somebody that are heroes. Look at what we have today. Look at what we have today. Football players, murderers, rapists, boxers that kill. And again, they go unpunished. They go lifted up and they go to the place where they're still hailed as heroes. And many kids look at that. And they desire to be like that. And you see the lawlessness. You know, again, you see what's going on in our country, in our leadership at this particular time, all the way up to the top. The lawlessness, the immorality, and the filthiness that is going on, even in our government. I mean, you know, our current president, even himself and his family, and you look at who he has chose to serve with him. Anybody that is immoral and impure, anybody that is willing to promote the filth that is going on in our world today, he put them in his cabinet. He put them all around him, and he surrounded himself with that. Men in charge are It is same as in the day of Noah. They got to the place where they invited sin. They lifted up sin, and their filthiness and their lawlessness became more important to them than anything else. The earth became a place where sex, immorality, and flesh was forced upon for many. Think about that. Think about what's going on in our world today. You say, well, you know, what do you talk about there, preacher? The filth and the sex that we face in our society today, who are they forcing it on? Our children. They want to go all the way down into preschool now and begin to teach children about sex education. My goodness. You know, most of them just barely got out of diapers. You know, why in the world do you want to be teaching them? You know, they want to teach them the perversion of, well, you know, hey, you may not be a little boy, even though you look like one, even though you have all the parts of a little boy, well, you just might be a little girl. They want to corrupt and they want to pervert. And what they're doing is they are forcing their view on the children. And again, that was happening in Noah's day. The earth became a place where powerful and strong rulers dominated. What do we have in our society today? We have our powerful rulers that tell us to shut up and do what we tell you, and you don't have a choice. They became lawless, full of attackers, robbers. You know, again, turn on the news. it even I hate for this to happen, but it even hit the Pelosi house. Where we have people today, the crooks and the people that attack and the people that rob and the people that do wrong, they're protected by the law, and they're allowed to do free reign of whatever they want. The earth became a place where powerful and immoral became lawless, and again, just bringing all this up as we talk about in our today's society, this helps us realize and know that the Lord's coming is right around the corner, and it could be any day, and now the fourth fact that we see here is God saw the wickedness upon the earth. God saw that man's wickedness was great upon the earth. By great, it means that man's wickedness multiplied. Man committed more and more sin, more and more acts of wickedness. Society was not getting better. It was becoming more and more ungodly. It wasn't getting righteous. It was getting worse. There were more mean and vile. There were more immorality and perverseness. There was destructive and terrifying. They were more evil and devilish. They were more fleshly and carnal. They were more lustful and sensuous. And again, as we think about what's going on in our world today, unfortunately, in a lot of churches across America, we see all of that coming into the church. We see churches that are lowering their standards in order to allow some of these things in their church. And just as an example, I know of a church up in Ohio, where they have permitted a homosexual couples to teach Sunday school. And there was a big fuss and there was a big fight over it. And folks, it was in a Baptist church. And their reasoning for it was because these homosexual couples were legally married and it was a sin to get a divorce. So they permitted them to join the church and to teach their children and continuing living in the filthy, vile sin that they're living in. And again, if we don't guard against things, God saw this. God saw their wickedness. The Bible says in verse number 5 here, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And this is what God saw. You know, I don't have to wonder, I don't have to guess when God looks at what's going on now today in our world, what he sees. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have formed, whom I have created
from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Now, just some interesting points here, because in this reading, we see two words that says repented. In verse number 6, it said, "and it repented." Now, what that means, that doesn't mean that God was sorry for creating the heavens and the earth. What that means is the best way that I could think to help you understand that is what it means there is I would that they hadn't done that. It didn't mean that God was sorry, and then that God had done something wrong and he needed to repent. That he needed to repent of it. And again, in verse number 7, it says, "For it repenteth me that I have made them." And again, it doesn't mean that he had done something wrong, or he was guilty and needed to repent. It just simply means, I would that it had been different. I would that it had been different. You know, how many times have we looked at something and we've thought, well, you know, this is not really what we want. I would that it had been something different. And again, you say, well, you know, isn't God in control? Yes, he is. But God give us free will and to do as we will. So we have the choice to either follow him or we have the choice to reject him. And the fifth fact that we see here that in verse number 6 and 7, God grieved over man, and his conduct, and he regretted that he had made them. The Hebrew word for it, grieve and repent. It means that he groaned, he lamented, it grieved him because of the misery of others and of oneself. And so the Bible says it repented God that he made him. God judged and commanded man to be destroyed, wiped off the face of the earth, both man and land animals. And what that means there, and it means that he blotted them out, he was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And folks, what we need to understand, although as we know, God is gracious and God is wonderful, and he's given his Son Jesus Christ, God will judge sin. God will judge the earth for what it does wrong. And again, if God judged the world in Noah's day, Christians, I don't think America in today's world is exempt of the judgment of God. And I really believe some of the things that we're seeing going on today is because of the judgment of God. And again, if we don't repent, where's that going to lead us? What's going to happen? Up until the day that the water began, or that the rains began, people in Noah's day had an opportunity to repent. But there will come a day, church, there will come a day here in America when we will no longer have the opportunity to repent, and judgment will pass, because God will judge sin. And then the sixth thing that we look at there is God remembered his grace and saved Noah. And the Bible tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, sometimes we look around us and we think, well, you know, why fight it? Misery loves company. Let's just join in. Everybody else is doing it, so we might as well too. Folks, what we want to be is we want to be the ones that God remembers because of our faithfulness and our loyalty to him. And Noah was saved because the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, Noah was a man who decided that doesn't matter who's around me, it doesn't matter who's doing what around me, I am going to remain faithful. I am going to remain close to God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do what God says. And again, all of the things that we can imagine that Noah went through as he was building the ark. And as he preached and people rejected it, I'm sure in Noah's day he was persecuted for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we will be persecuted for our stand. But in the end, no matter how bad it gets around us, we need to stay faithful, we need to stay true, and we need to remember that God will find grace if we stay true and faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Sunday school time that we've had here. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, as we go home to rehearse these things in our heart and our minds. Father, I pray that you'd help us to turn to you and stay faithful. And Lord, I pray that if there be any sin within our hearts, Lord, that we're harboring, that we're hanging on to, and Lord, that we're letting it rule in our lives, Lord, I pray that we'd turn it over to you. We'd repent of it. We'd confess it, repent, and Lord, move on. And we'll love and thank you for all that you're going to do, Lord, and be with our next hour. In your name we pray. Amen.